The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. At first glance, the image of the vine and the branches seems rather romantic and consoling. And since so many of us in this region of the country have some familiarity with the wine country just north of us, it perhaps evokes scenes of fun, wonderful visits with picnics to vineyards, wine tastings. For many of us, when we have visitors in town, it's one of the things that they want to experience. And it seems all lovely, doesn't it? Driving through Napa County, Napa Valley, and just seeing the hills and the vineyards, it seems rather romantic and bucolic, all at once. Well, like most of Jesus's parables, the romance that perhaps we may think of when we think of vines and vineyards is going to be slightly muted here. There's actually something rather punchy about what our Lord has to say. I think it's important for us to look very closely at his words, that we may in this particular moment receive his word, and as our Lord says in his own, to be pruned because of the word that he speaks to us. So, again, at first glance, beyond the romanticism of the vine and the branches, this particular parable would have been stunning to his apostles, his disciples who hear these words. Because you have to remember that for them, prior to the coming of the Lord, the notion of God was that he was so distant, so other, so far away from them, that they could not imagine the type of intimacy of relationship with him that Jesus is describing in this image. Because remember, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And we're going to keep coming back to that theme. Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, because unfortunately our tendency is to replace Jesus as the vine with the self as the vine. And Jesus might be a branch on that vine. So the ultimate challenge of the parable is to accept the challenge that Jesus gives to us. Am I really the vine when it comes to your life? Or am I just sort of one of many competing voices, one of these competing branches, but I'm up there, you know, with my favorite talk show host or the particular pundit that I like or a political figure that I'm particularly fond of, whoever. Is he really the vine? Now, in the church, as we have developed our tradition over 2,000 years, in about the 3rd and 4th century, it was very, very commonly heard from pulpits for preachers to say, and we still have these homilies in our annals of history, that many of the saints would say something like this: God became man so that man could become like God. So here we're not talking about God sort of out there, somewhere out there. In our dispensation, he's literally right here. And in a few moments, he'll be right here, really and substantially present in our midst. And not only that, but those who come forward properly disposed have communion with him. This union that's really depicted in this image of the vine and the branches. So notice what Jesus says here then. He says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine grower. And he takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Ooh. If you're not making a return on in Jesus' investment, it's not looking good. In fact, at the end here it says, anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. So in other words, there's no middle ground. Either you are a branch on the vine who is Jesus and bearing fruit, or you're not. Now, if you are bearing fruit, Jesus says, well, guess what? There's more for you. There's something called pruning. Now, if you've ever had to work with plants, there's a paradox in pruning. At first, right, the pruning is hurtful, if you like, to the plant because you're doing some violence to its growth. The intentionality of doing the pruning is with the very explicit hope and expectation, in fact, that when that shoot grows back, it will be even sturdier and more fruitful. Pruning doesn't just happen because the vine grower has some sadistic designs on the vine. He really intends for the vine to be lush and to be fruitful. Okay, so you notice here in our experience in this world, that often comes in the form of suffering. This is why we as believers don't look at suffering as just abject misery, but rather can be quite redemptive in value. In fact, my old spiritual director used to say, God rest him, he said, suffering, he says, Magat, is God's megaphone. He says, when we're too deaf to hear his voice, he will allow us to share some portion of the cross to break through our spiritual deafness so we can encounter his voice. And his voice is liberating truth. His voice is freedom. His voice is virtue. So he says that unless you remain in me and I in you, you cannot bear fruit. This is a particular challenge in our day. So often what I encountered today is that many, even practicing Catholics, and here I mean Sunday Mass-going Catholics who have some investment and involvement in the faith, beyond here, as I've discovered, do not live lives that are remarkably different than their secular peers. They participate in many of the illicit behaviors that their peers do, making concessions all along the way. God understands. Or, I'm a practicing Catholic. I go to Mass on Sundays and I receive the sacraments. But my life beyond here shows no difference. How sad it is for me to have learned of persons that I really thought were very much living in Christ to be engaged in all kinds of behaviors that I'm sure make our Lord weep. Especially since there's this front of being pious and practicing, and yet all the while, there's something really going on in the background that if most people knew would be shocking and surprising. And this is, of course, particularly painful when this happens among the clergy, as we've learned for the last 25, 30 years. It's very, very easy to claim one's religiosity, but to live in a way that is actually not Catholic. Very easy. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, it is all around us. Compromise, concessions, not really living in Christ. So what ends up happening then with this parable is that Jesus cannot say, I am the vine. What has really happened, if we're going to be honest, is the individual has become the vine. So if you like, the parable's ultimate challenge is who in our lives really is God? God or the self? And that's the daily struggle that we all contend with, do we not? We're really honest. And so it is particularly inspiring when I encounter individuals who are really living the faith. I mean, honestly, and when they fall, as we all want to do, they rush back to confession immediately. This is not the penance service Catholic, Advent and Lent, no. This is the person who goes to confession frequently. They pray earnestly. They are very intentional about growing their family and forming those children to be the disciples Jesus wants them to be. They realize their kids are not really their own. Their kids belong to the Lord, ultimately. And that as parents, they have the great privilege of bringing them up in this life and preparing them for eternal life, the life that God's Son died so that we may have. I mean, these are the basic things. But when I run into Catholics who are doing drugs, who are smoking all kinds of substances under the guise, well, it's legal in California. Is this the stuff that makes Jesus happy? Is this really the stuff of the vine that is lush and fruitful and beautiful? We know the answer to that, hardly. So I leave you with this thought this morning, that he said, the Lord says here in very, very beautiful terms, we can remain in him. We can abide in him. People who really live a life in Christ experience tremendous interior freedom in spite of the fact of so many crosses that they bear in this life, because they have this unshakable trust and confidence in the Lord. They abide in him, and he abides in them. This is no longer a forensic, external, distant relationship from God, but is as intimate as that of vine and branches. Apart from that vine, they know they can do nothing. And most beautifully for us, as we encounter God's inner life in our souls and the sacraments, this image of the vine and the branches fails. It comes up short. The reality is right here. Let us pray for one another that we will be grafted onto the vine of Christ, as we already have by baptism, to accept the pruning that he will give us at times to help us grow to be more lush and to bear much fruit for the kingdom that belongs to the Father, who is the vine grower. May Jesus Christ be praised both now and forever. Amen.